Thanks, Marcus, for reading for us, and welcome to Cross Life Church this morning. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage, as well as from a few other passages in the Bible as well. A few weeks ago, we finished kind of our series from the book of Luke at the moment, and we're starting a four-part series this week on the topic of money, and we've called it Money Mottos because it's four principles on money that we are looking at from the Bible. Today's motto is live simply. No doubt our lives are a lot more complicated now than people's lives were like kind of centuries ago. Some of that is unavoidable. But I think it's wise and helpful for us to take steps to move kind of in the direction of simplicity. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. I'm going to pray for us as we head into God's word. The other thing I might pray for as well is the conflict between Israel and Palestine, which has recently kind of escalated in the last 24 hours. And so I'm going to be bringing that to God in prayer too. Please join with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray for the situation going on in Israel and Palestine. Lord, we are always sorry to hear of conflict and death and destruction. Lord, we pray that you may be working in the minds and hearts of those who are in charge, who are in control, who affect the lives of the people, of many, many people in that region. And Lord, we pray that you may give them a desire for peace. Lord, we also pray that you may bring to justice those who seek conflict, those who seek death. And Lord, we pray that they may know that they are answerable to you and that you may bring them to account. Lord, we pray for peace in that region. Lord, you are the God of peace and your Son is the Prince of Peace. And so, Lord, we pray that you may bring an end to that conflict. We pray that the good news of Jesus may somehow go out. And we pray that people at all levels will comprehend, understand the gospel of Jesus and be able to live it out kind of wherever they are, to derive comfort from it, to live by it, to be saved by the cross and shaped by the cross. And Lord, now we pray for our time in your word. Lord, we know that our lives are often distracted, cluttered, and stressful. Please help us to see that it doesn't have to be like this, that there is a better way to live, and that your Son Jesus modeled that kind of life. And so please help us to follow our Lord Jesus, not just his words, but also in the pattern of his life. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There is an old urban legend that in the 1960s, when the Americans started sending astronauts to space, they realized that traditional ballpoint pens were useless in zero gravity. And so what they did was they spent millions of dollars developing a new kind of pen that would work in space, that could write upside down, that could write at extreme temperatures, and even write underwater. And so after millions of dollars in research and development, finally American astronauts were able to write with pens in space. Faced with a similar problem, the Russians used a pencil. Now, I understand that this story actually isn't true, right? But there's a reason why a story like this resonates with us, isn't there? You know, there's a bit of truth to the fable of the story, if not the story itself. We often make things more complicated than they need to be. Much of our lives contain too many moving parts. Often our lives do not reflect Occam's razor, which is that the simplest answer is often the correct one. You might have seen this in your own life. You know, I think that we've been all frustrated at times by things like too much admin, too many forms to fill out, too many meetings at work, too many readings for uni, you know, too many regulations to abide by, too many boxes to tick wherever it is that we are. But when we think about all those things, you know, all those things are really just the world around us, aren't they? Those are things that we really can't control. But what about the complexity that we create for ourselves? Well, we often complain about how busy we are, how stressed we are, how pressed and anxious we are. And sure, a lot of that comes from outside, but isn't there a lot of that that comes from us as well? You might remember the intro question last week at church that we asked, what would you do if you had an extra 2 hours a day? Now, it's great to dream about having more time. But one thing that came to me during that discussion question was, well, You know, if I stopped using my phone every day, I would probably have an extra hour a day. How much of the complexity in our lives is self-inflicted? We buy more things, and then we have to buy more things to store those things. And then we have to spend time to constantly maintain those things. And then we have to use those things because otherwise we feel like we have wasted our money. We buy bigger properties and then we have to fill them with things because otherwise they look empty. We overload ourselves and our children with extracurricular activities, side hustles, and overwork that does not need to be done. We feel like we need things that are really just distractions, time wasters and money wasters, and we justify them with all sorts of lame excuses. And so, sure, you know, the world around us can take a lot of the blame for our current pace of life, the current stress of our lives, but a lot of the blame lies with us as well. We hold on to things that hurt us. And I wonder whether a lot of our inability to let these things go is really just because of laziness, pride, people-pleasing, and just bad habits of our minds and our hearts. I want to encourage you today to be a person who strives for simplicity. I want you to do it because it is basically following Jesus. This is what Jesus did. But also, I want to say this because it is healthier for us and it actually makes everything that we should be doing easier as well. Our Lord Jesus lived a simple life. In no way could anyone ever accuse Jesus of being busy or complex or pretentious or ostentatious. Materially, Jesus lived a very humble existence. He was a king who was not born in a palace, but in a manger, the stables of an inn. He was a king who did not ride a war horse into Jerusalem, but a humble donkey. He was a king who taught his followers to not even worry about food or clothing, but to trust in God to provide everything. And as far as his lifestyle was concerned as well, Jesus lived a very unbusy existence. You know, Jesus did tons of amazing, fantastic things, right? You know, John 21 says that if everything Jesus did was written down, the world wouldn't have enough books to hold all the things that he did. You know, all the deeds of Jesus would break the internet kind of thing. But despite all that, Jesus still found time to rest. He took time to remove himself from people so that he could spend time with God, so that he could pray, so that he could re-energize his batteries. Jesus lived a simple life. He lived a humble existence. He lived an unbusy existence. And he actually calls his disciples to do the same thing as well. We see that in the passage that we read earlier, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. It goes, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Notice how the passage describes Martha. Distracted, anxious, troubled about many things. There are all these things that she feels like she has to do. And notice the contrast with Mary, who really just has one thing that she wants to do. She wants to do the good thing. She wants to be with Jesus. She wants to listen to him and learn from him. Are you more of a Mary or more of a Martha? A lot of striving for simplicity is knowing what you really want. It's knowing, like Jesus says here, what is necessary. And I think a lot of us here would say that what is necessary for our lives, what we actually want, is Jesus. We want to be with Jesus. We want to learn from Jesus. Well, if that's the necessary thing, then why are we so bogged down in unnecessary things? I don't think Mary is being lazy here. Like, I don't think she is thinking to herself, I'll just get Martha to do it, or I can sit back and relax so that I can be with Jesus. You know, it's just speculation on my part. But I think she's a bit more like, look, it won't kill me to leave the dishes dirty for another hour. I've got a to-do list, but there are probably some things on that list that I don't really need to do, because I would rather have the necessary thing. I would rather have Jesus. Is that the kind of life that you want to live? And are you prepared to pay the cost to get it? Many of us choose, and choose is the correct word, by the way. It is our choice. We choose to forego what is necessary for the sake of what we want. Are you able to forego what you want for the sake of what is necessary? In other words, are you able to be shaped by the cross? A Christian teacher, Tom Allen, he asks the question, does the Bible infer that we are to live like a king or live like the king? Jesus lived a simple life. And those who claim to follow Jesus should strive for simplicity as well. But you might say to this, well, you know, Mike, sure, you know, that is the life that Jesus lived. But does the Bible actually command anywhere that we have to live this kind of life? You know, can you actually point to a Bible verse that says strive for simplicity? And I think the way that I'd answer that question is, well, if Jesus commanded you to plant a tree, you would take it for granted that you would have to clear the soil. You would have to get rid of any grass, plants, and weeds that were already there. You would have to dig the hole for the seed. You'd have to fertilize the ground. You'd have to make sure that the ground is moist. You know, you would know to do all those things, and you would not just toss your seed onto the road and think that your job is done. You know that you need the right kind of ground for that tree to flourish. Jesus might not say, strive for simplicity, but he does say that God loves a cheerful giver. He does say that godliness with contentment is great gain, and if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. He says to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and ready to share. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be given to you as well. Jesus commands his people to contentment, to generosity, to other person-centeredness, to help those in need. A simple life is the soil that helps all of those other life-giving virtues of the Christian life to flourish. And on the opposite kind of side, on the other hand, a busy, relentless, high-pressure life stifles all of these things. Jesus talks about how the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things choke the word of God and make it unfruitful. And it's absolutely true, isn't it? We have experienced that this is true. We know how hard it is to be content if we are constantly acquiring more and more things. We know how hard it is to be generous if we're mortgaged up to the hilt. We know how hard it is to be servant-hearted and to help the needy if all the time in our calendars is booked out with appointments. a simple life gives us the reserve, it gives us the margin to be able to have time and energy and hearts and finances to be able to give to others and to give them joyfully. You know, when you give now, right now, you know, what's your heart like? When you give financially, or when you give your time or your energy or your service, are you giving just to get people off your back, you know, just to stop people harassing you? Are you giving just to offload some sort of guilt that you have about the things that you're doing, the way that you're living? Are you giving just so you can tick a box, you know, say it's done, fulfill an obligation? Or worse, are you just not giving at all because you feel like you can't? Can you give joyfully? Because if you can't, maybe there's something wrong there. And I wonder whether for us as a church, maybe what we need to do, each of us, is do a bit more work on our soil so that we can actually live the lives that Jesus wants us to. I was reading in the Bible this week of Peter, kind of when he said to Jesus, even though all fall away, I will not. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And how tragic it is for us to read that, because we know what happens. You know, we know that Peter is being overconfident in his ability to resist temptation. But I wonder whether we do that as well. When we think about our wealth, when we think about our possessions, you know, it's easy for us to say, oh, it's not money that's the root of all kinds of evil. It's the love of money. And I don't love money. I'm willing to go without all these things that I have if I had to. I could stop using them anytime I want. There's a kind of person who says that they can stop anytime they want, isn't there? And still keeps on using the things that they are using. Addicts do that. It is a different kind of person who actually stops. If what we say is true, and we don't love our money and possessions, then why don't we give them generously? And why do we get so triggered? Why do we get so offended when other people suggest that we do? Why do we have to keep on justifying our continued use of them? You know, you don't keep on justifying and defending something that you don't love. It is a simpler life, which enables and energizes the Christian life. But what does simple living look like for us? You know, what does simple look like in Sydney 2023? I'm not sure what you guys all said when you discussed what simple living looked like earlier. Maybe you thought of people in the country who are completely self-sufficient. You know, they live on a little house and they grow and cook all their own food. They're off the grid. They don't need electricity. Maybe you think about monks in a monastery, you know, that really basic living in order to meditate all the time. Or maybe you thought about driving up to Byron Bay or Nimbin and joining the hippies and slowing down all the way in your lifestyle so that you can smoke all sorts of strange substances. It's probably not that for us, right? Simple living. It's probably not helpful for us to kind of burn all that down and start from scratch. But maybe what we can do is take a few steps in the right direction. So maybe what we can do is say no to clutter and yes to clarity. Most of us have apps on our phones that do not need to be there. We have things in our rooms and our houses that we could easily give away or sell. We have products on our wish lists that do not need to be bought and could easily be deleted. We have extracurricular activities that we could easily clear. We have TV shows that do not need to be watched, games that do not need to be played, websites and news articles that do not need to be read. And if we did a lot of those things, if we got rid of a lot of those things, they would make space for us to be clear on what we really want in our lives. To choose, like Jesus said, what is necessary. Being with Jesus, serving God and his people, loving our neighbours. And so we say no to clutter and yes to clarity. We can say no to maximum and yes to margin. Margin is the title of a book written by a Christian doctor, Richard Sweatman. He encourages people to stop overloading their lives and to cultivate margin, this kind of reserve space between what you're capable of doing and what you're actually doing. Margin helps our mental health. It enables us to serve other people joyfully. And he talks about things like financial margin, emotional margin, time margin, energy margin, that kind of thing. He's basically saying, look, we shouldn't be traveling at maximum speed all the time. It is unloving to ourselves and unloving to others. And so maybe for us, you know, when it comes time for you to get a job or maybe change your job, why not choose a job that gives you margin? You know, don't choose a job that is going to tax you to your limits, take up 100%. William Taylor, an Anglican minister in England, he said about work, it might be hard to imagine, but there are people who are able to do your job standing on their heads. You know, maybe it is good for you to be able to choose a job that you could do standing on your head. When it comes to spending, you know, don't mortgage yourself up to the hilt. Don't rent the biggest thing that you can afford. Or choose a place to live that gives you the ability to give to others. When it comes to time, you know, don't feel like your time has to be taken up with something. You know, be okay with doing nothing sometimes. You know, don't reach for your phone. Don't constantly look for distraction. Wake up at a time that means you're not rushed. When you have to go somewhere, leave home at a time that means you are not rushed. Say no to maximum and yes to margin. And finally, say no to storing and yes to sharing. And often my instinct is when I need something for my house, you know, for repairs or whatever it is, right, is to just go out and buy it. And if we do that for everything, what we eventually end up with is just a whole treasure trove of possessions that we have that we need bigger and bigger barns to store. Maybe it's better for us to start to think, well, could I borrow this from someone else? It's actually a better thing. I think it's a more pro-social thing. It means that we get to make contact with another person. It means that another person has the opportunity to help someone in need. It makes us more humble, that we're more willing to ask for help when we need it. But I hope you can see from these things that it's a mistake to think that a simpler life is the same as an easy life. You know, simple is not the same as easy. Easy is just going with the flow. It's just doing what you feel. It's just doing what everyone else is doing. That is easy. It's hard work to go against the grain. It's hard work to resist your natural impulses to strive and work for simplicity. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16 says, better a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. If God looked at your life, would he say that you're striving for a little with fear of the Lord? Or would he say that you're striving for great treasure and trouble with it? The writer of the book Margin, Richard Sweatman, he tells a story about how he was doing medicine in Africa. And while he was doing medicine, one of the African assistants kind of notices his watch. And he said to him, you Americans have all of the watches, but we have all of the time. It is a blessed thing to have time for others. It is something that our society is losing as people are treated more and more like consumers, customers, and competitors. It is the devil and the world that has robbed our lives of simplicity, robbed our lives of the freedom and joy and love that comes from it. Because the devil does not want us to have the necessary thing. He doesn't want us to be with Jesus. And so the devil and the world have taken that away from us. It's up to you to take it back. in the next few weeks, we are going to see what to do with that margin, with that space, with the reserve that living simply gives us. But we're going to stop there for now. Our first money motto is live simply. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus. Thank you that he was simple, that he was single-minded in what was necessary for his life. And thank you that we see that in the way that he conducted his life, that he knew what he needed. He needed you. He needed time with you, time to learn from you, to pray to you. He knew that you are the one who energizes his life. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that we may be like Mary, knowing what is necessary, knowing that we need your Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that we need to take his yoke upon us and learn from him, and knowing that he is the one who gives us rest for our souls. Please help us, therefore, to be able to have those kinds of lives, to strive for that kind of life, where we have what is necessary, where we engage in what is necessary, and we are not distracted by the complexities that are around us. And Lord, we pray that if we live those kinds of lives, then the world around us will take notice, that they'll take notice on what we actually care about, that we'll be clear on that, and that they may see Jesus at work in us and come to follow him too. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.